What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of Keeping Carlson Short Shifts, a podcast that happens twice a week, where two intrepid podcast hosts look at the news and notes from the last couple of days to keep the listeners satiated in between those Sunday mega shows. Normally, I'm not here, but today I am. I'm your host, Dylan Dubrovsky, and with me for this week's edition is Shams Benamor. Shams, I'm a ball of nerves here. You look super chill. Clearly, it's someone in a bye week versus, or not versus, but with someone in the midst of, elimination matchup here. How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm doing okay. It's a smaller week. It's only a 10-team league, so semifinals of my home league. But it's one of those situations where I look at the categories league. You can never tell who's going to win, especially with all these goalie stats, especially we're always Thursday. Saturday could things go in. So I'm a little bit laissez-faire with that one. And then, as you mentioned, the season didn't go too great for me with some unfortunate drops that cold streaks that quickly turned into hot streaks once I dropped some players. So I'm currently sitting at the bye week for the consolation bracket and Cupful, but you can't win them all.
Yeah, I mean, this was exactly where I was last year. I remember being in the bye week for the consolation playoffs for Cupful last year, tier three for Lunda, I think it was. And I remember just relaxing. I felt great. Like, I don't know why I pushed so hard to make these playoffs. This is worse. It's fun when your players do well. And then I'm just like staring at the score sheet every single time I see like the Sens scored, which hasn't happened today. It's like, oh my God, please not Brady, please not Brady. Then I see it's like who's this random? Oh, Michael Amadio, phew. Okay, I'm okay. But yeah, it's like, wow. When the whole season comes down to like the games, like literally today and Saturday, it feels like it's wild. And so yeah, we have a fun little list here of topics to bring up. And so I guess we might as well just head into it. I can't chat too much with you because it's short shifts and people are going to make fun of me if we go longer than 30 minutes.
All right, well, then let's get right into it. You said fun, but the first news item is far from it, is that we got a bombshell that Draisaitl is doubtful for today and is, quote, game to game for now. So, like, some people were guessing that it was, like, load management. The way I'm reading it is that maybe something nagging or something happened last game and it just didn't click in right. So the way I'm looking at this is that obviously it's a big downfall. And the interesting thing is that we don't have the lines yet, but the coach did say that Skinner, McDavid, and Hyman are staying together. So it's interesting to see them keeping Hyman and McDavid together. So that will leave Ryan Nugent-Hopkins to be maybe on the same line, but like basically playing with the scraps. It's interesting that he has been, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, been playing better. Seems like the center role has been working out, getting some points, and he's been even getting some stuff away from the big guns of Draisaitl and McDavid. So maybe he might get something out of this, but the way I look at this, it's just a simple negative for everybody. Do you agree?
If Jeff Skinner is playing with Connor McDavid, then that makes him interesting. I wouldn't be jumping on Jeff Skinner just because I could still see him getting scratched like next game. This Draisaitl thing, man, I have Draisaitl in another league where I'm playing in the finals right now. It's brutal. Like, at least be out. At least let me put me out of my misery. Now it's going to be every single time the Oilers are playing, I'm going to be wondering if I'm going to get a Draisaitl game or not. Geez, game to game. What is that? That like reminds me of when Roope Hintz was doing this a couple years back. But like, they did no warning. You couldn't have told us about this a couple months ago before the trade deadline. But yeah, I guess the other name that I would watch out for is someone's going to get on the top power play, right? And this is the top power play with, not with Draisaitl, maybe not as good. So with McDavid and Hyman and RNH and Bouchard and someone. There was a game a couple games back when Hyman was out and Corey Perry got on the top power play, and I believe he scored a power play goal. So if Corey Perry jumps to PP1, that could be interesting. Of course, this is the kind of thing where it's game to game, right? So you're not even like grabbing Corey Perry and being like, okay, well, now I got the power play one guy for the rest of the week, but maybe for a stream. And that's not a guarantee. Like you said, we'll have to check the lines. So this is definitely going to be a situation where you're going to want to check gamedaytweets.com for Oilers lines. Then also, by the way, if you go to the lines page there, I have a hyperlink to go to the last game lines, which is more useful after you listen to the show, where you can just go see from Frozen Tools what exactly the lines were and what the power plays were. And then I guess we'll see how instructive that is. But yeah, overall, a frustrating situation for anyone who has been riding Draisaitl. Such an incredible season, one of his best. And now we'll see. We'll see how many games he gets. At least he got the O. So hopefully people saw this in time to swap him out of their lineups for today. But yeah, not fun at all for sure to lose maybe the top fantasy player in the league at this point, or like in the top three or four.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, silver lining is that the league, I have them in both my leagues. It's that at least it's Thursday, it's a busy night, so you're not losing a game, but you know, adding a random guy that you had benched, like a Pajot for Draisaitl, doesn't feel like a silver lining at the end.
Yeah, I believe Pajot has an assist today. So, you know, got to cool it with the Pajot slander. Anthony Duclair scored a power play goal from Anders Lee and Pajot. We mentioned, by the way, Brian and I know this is not what you were trying to do a cut to, but Brian and I mentioned that Pajot does get a bit of an upgrade with Brock Nelson over in Colorado. And so, yeah, power play, and he's been like second line center. So definitely not a total scrub. Obviously, no Draisaitl. Though, speaking of Brock Nelson, if I can go already away from our script, and this is why it's going to be a long shift, I could already tell. Brock Nelson has two goals today, I believe. I just saw a tweet saying he scored a second goal. Now I'm seeing here, though, that he only has one goal, so I'm not sure.
It looks like he's got another goal.
Yes.
He just got it right now.
So he didn't start too strong on Colorado, but definitely getting going. It is 5-0 for the Avs over the Sens. They chased Linus Ullmark. So that would be very frustrating. I'm glad I don't have Ullmark in any leagues. Can you imagine like fighting all year and then on a crucial day, you just get like a huge negative from a goalie and then he gets pulled, a goalie that you've been depending on. But yeah, too bad for Sens fans. They had that tough loss to the Habs and now they're going to lose to Colorado. Hopefully this playoff spot doesn't slip away. But okay, I guess let's go to our next scheduled topic here.
Right, so continuing with injuries, this one we don't really have much information, is that Marco Rossi was unable to return to the game last game. And then also there wasn't really much of an update. I don't believe there was actually anything said post game other than we're looking into it. So we don't have any practice lines right now. So it's hard to really guess what's going to come out of it. But the one thing that I'll take away is that I believe, you guys talked about this on the Mega Show, is that Ryan Hartman has been kind of potentially been playing a little bit more interesting with the schedule next week looking good. And on top of it is that in a 4-0 game that they won over Seattle, he played 22 minutes in a meaningless game. Now, obviously, that was without a center in the game with Rossi out. But this just kind of shows that they're just going to have to lean on him more. He's going to get more ice time. He has been shooting and hitting a lot. So even if the points don't come as frequently as they have in the past, he still has those peripheral points that are going to come just because he's just going to be on the ice so much.
Yeah, go get Ryan Hartman for sure. Like, Minnesota has one of the better schedules for the next couple of weeks. They go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday next week. So really only Saturday is a busy day. And then in the finals, it's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, all light days. So Minnesota is a hot team to get, and you could potentially grab Ryan Hartman. I'm really regretting. I could have had him last Sunday. I chose Phil Deneau. I'm embarrassed. It was a bad choice. I really wish I could go back and change that. But yeah, LA, by the way, also has a good schedule for the next couple of weeks. Or at least, no, only 1 week. And then the finals. Anyways, whatever. I shouldn't think that far ahead. But yeah, Ryan Hartman seems like an obvious guy to jump on right now. With all these injuries, someone's going to have to get the good deployment. Freddie Gaudreau, I saw, was playing top-line center with Boldy and Zuccarello. So that could be another guy to potentially look at. But Ryan Hartman was on that top power play. It was Hartman, Boldy, Zuccarello, Nyquist, and Brock Faber. So Somehow Nyquist and Brock Faber, like, let's say Minnesota scores like 3 power play goals next game, I'll bet you still somehow Nyquist and Faber will have no points. It'll be all just Hartman, Boldy, and Zuccarello for all the goals. So yeah, but yeah, definitely grab someone from that top power play that's not Nyquist. And then, even though I said the same thing, I joked about Marcus Johansson being totally boring, then he scored a goal in the first game after that show, and I also said that Max Domi wasn't going to do anything, and so maybe I'm putting some good juju out there for my Brock Faber, who I continue to hold on to like a dummy. It's just like, it's so hard to draw. Like, I just look every game. It's like, we played 29 minutes and he was on the top power play. But I guess at some point, it's just like, I guess somehow he finds a way to avoid points, even when the team scores 4. But okay, yeah. Ryan Hartman, definitely get him. Marco Rossi, that's a shame to lose him. We'll see how long he's out. I guess we have another injury here, Chandler Stephenson. I could bring up the next topic here. So Stephenson is, I think, like still undetermined here on Seattle. Like, you can tell me if I'm mistaken. I'm just bringing him up here. I guess I should. That's why I guess you were the one that was hosting because you had all the stuff ready. Dan Bylsma did not have an update on Stephenson after the game last night in Minnesota. Said the Kraken center was being evaluated and would be again today. So we'll see. He's one of those many Kraken forwards that seems to go hot once in a while. I can't really think of anyone that's going to like benefit because it's not like Stephenson was in this like primo position in the lineup. He was like playing with Eberle for a good stretch and Eberle was super hot. I don't know. I think this is just kind of like whatever. You probably weren't planning on banking on Stephenson. So let me know if you could think of any like takeaways from this Stephenson injury.
So the one thing I was looking at is that if you had him on your roster, is that while we still don't know how long it's going to be, what I would do is that Seattle only has one game left, and I believe it's on a busy day this week. So what you could do is if you have a move left over, just bench Stephenson, put him in your IR, make your move ahead of time. Maybe you have a particular goalie that you're aiming for on the many back-to-backs that we have this weekend, or you know, you're picking up someone with a Friday, Sunday situation. And then if he comes back now, hey, you just leave him on your IR. Now, he did have 5 games in a row of an assist, but he wasn't doing so much. So hopefully you weren't leaning on him. And then you could just use this as a roster spot, keep him on the IR, make a move, and then next week see how things work out and then activate him if you think he's still interesting. And if he's still injured, you already made your move and recouped your value.
Yeah, that's fair. By the way, in that Seattle game, Grubauer got the start and got destroyed. I think he had like 2 decent games in a row. There was no way he was going to get 3. That was like inevitable in hindsight here. Hopefully no one listening streamed in Grubauer for that game. Do we have any more injuries or can we get to some good news here?
So right now, I think we're finally into the good news or good news on the horizon. So the first one is with Vegas is that we don't have a timeline, but at the very least, we have Shea Theodore is practicing in a regular jersey. The coach did say he's not playing this week, but the fact that he said he's not playing this week and kept it that short of a timeline at least shows that he's progressing. It's going to be interesting to see because on the other side, William Karlsson is actually back tonight. It says technically it's a game time decision, but the way everything is worded makes it sound like he's back because he's already activated off the IR, Karlsson is. And just to keep an eye out for you managers that have Theodore is that he was put on LTIR for cap management. So it will be interesting to see is that while Theodore is practicing and might be getting close to being healthy, we were having a discussion on the Keeping Karlsson Discord. They might not actually fit him for his cap because right now they literally don't have a single person that's waiver eligible. So if they wanted to try to play the waivers game, they could lose whatever player. And then on top of that, they don't really have anyone obvious to put on LTIR. So I would be kind of a little bit happy that he's potentially back, but I wouldn't be counting my ducks right ahead of time saying, oh, I'm going to get Theodore for next week.
Yeah, I mean, they'll figure something out. It's Vegas. They have Mark Stone on the team, so I think he could probably use a rest before a playoff run. I think I'm going to choose to be optimistic here about Theodore coming back. Would definitely be amazing. More pressure feels like for me to win this week's matchup, so I don't like get eliminated right before I get my stud defenseman back. Next week for what it's... So, okay, Vegas still has like today, Thursday, and then Saturday, Sunday games this week. And then next week, Vegas goes Tuesday, and then Friday, Saturday. So got to imagine if he's already practicing, maybe he doesn't hit next Tuesday, at least the Friday, Saturday. Come on, that seems like a pretty... I'm compromising here to say, like, I'll be okay with that. So let's see of what, you know, shenanigans Vegas can figure out how to get into before a week from now. That's a lot of time for them to get their ducks in a row. Yeah, as far as William Karlsson goes, he wasn't that interesting before. I doubt he will be again. I would assume, like, the lines lately have been, like, Brandon Saad, I think we've mentioned, has been playing with Hurdle and Dorofeev, and then Stone and Eichel have been playing with Barbashev. Sometimes Tanner Pearson gets up there. I guess once in a while, Victor Olofsson. I guess it's been a while since we've seen Olofsson up there. So it's not as if William Karlsson is like has a spot waiting for him. I think it's like third line center. So I wouldn't get too excited about him. But yeah, it is interesting just in terms of like keeping track of the cap situation over in Vegas. Let's take a break, I guess. We've been going for around 15, 16 minutes here. Then we'll come back and finish off a couple more outries and then some hot and cold streaks. You're listening to Short Shifts. This NHL season has been as predictable as a puck rolling on its edge. No one knows where it's going, but that just means there's time for your favorite team to figure things out and games left for you to get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple like picking a team to win. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up! New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777. Or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Okay, it's Short Shifts, and I pull the swerve here. I know normally you guys are very organized, and you like get through all of the injuries and outries before the break, but I got excited and I did it. But I know we have another big one today in Buffalo, and I know this especially well because my opponent has JJ Paterka, and Paterka's been activated, and I was like, whatever. It's a busy day anyways, but actually Buffalo does have Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, so my opponent did gain a game by activating Paterka and dropping like a Thursday, Saturday person. So definitely good timing for anyone with Paterka in their IR to have him come back right before a 3-game in 4-day stretch, assuming he does well. Any word on like what the lineup is going to be with Paterka back?
So there has been a practice while with him practicing. We'll have to see, or you'll see on game day tweets, because there's a couple an illness going through. So some of the bottom people like Benson are not going to play tonight. So they might switch it up. But if they keep the top line as how they were practicing yesterday, they actually are going to reunite Tuck, Thompson, and Paterka, which was actually one of their better lines earlier in the year. Now, the rest of the lines, it really didn't work out, which led them to split it apart. So it will be interesting to see if they keep that, let's just say it, their three best players, all like at least from an offensive capacity together. That could be really interesting that have Paterka come back. It could add to your Tuck stocks because Tuck has been randomly added to second or third line duty just because for some reason the coach just never wants to keep him on the top line.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely the best case scenario for Paterka to go back to this line with Thompson and Tuck. So we'll see if he can stay there and do well. I'm going to hope I've got UPL on my team. I'm going to hope this is a bit of a boon to help the Sabres win a game. They made me nervous. I was like debating all last week whether or not to hold UPL or drop him before my fantasy quarterfinals. I knew there was a Monday against Boston. I kept eyeing that Monday Boston game. Like, is he going to burn me? And then like early in the game, like 2 goals against, he had like -2 or something, or maybe 1.5 negative on Yahoo, like for like a couple team. And I was like, oh my God, so terrible. This was like 5 minutes into the game. And it turned out okay, actually. He didn't let in another goal, and Buffalo did get the win. So we'll see if tonight, I'm assuming, I don't think he's even confirmed yet, but I assume UPL is going to play today, and it'll hopefully be a successful game here. But yeah, anyways, I'm just going to keep sprinkling in stuff about my own team. But yeah, exciting definitely for UPL managers, or sorry, Paterka managers, which is my opponent. It's, Buffalo's playing Utah today at 9. Oh, so it's coming up soon. That's a team that can score some goals, so that should be a fun game. Okay, and then we've got another outry. I see John Gibson is back for Anaheim. You were ranting a little bit before we went live to me about you're a little frustrated because you were assuming he was going to be gone and you were going to be riding Lukas Dostal like as a volume starter for the rest of the season. I guess my one response to you would just be, give Gibson some time. Let him cook. He usually finds a way to find himself out of the lineup pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is that it will be interesting to see because the last, Gibson has been practicing. I could have sworn 2 or 3 weeks, just like, but every time they would call up Huso to back up, like they wouldn't even put him on, you know, the bench, even just in case that Dostal needed to be replaced. So, and then they had a tweet that kind of like was ambiguous of like how they didn't have a like timeline for him. I believe that was like late last week. And then they're like, oh, he's good enough to play and he's actually starting tonight. So while I'm with you is that he is the epitome of a Band-Aid boy, especially this year. So there's no guarantees how long he lasts. The interesting thing to keep in mind though is that when he was healthy, they did love to keep the 50-50 split of just, you know, the same way that Carolina handles their goalies. So if that sticks for now, that would mean that Gibson would actually get 2 of the 3 games next week. So make that as you will and see how you have the space. But maybe if you just wait till later this week, like you didn't stream him in and no one else bit, might be an interesting add to get 2 games next week, assuming that he's healthy and plays decent enough this week to keep on getting played.
Yeah, it's a good point. And Anaheim next week plays Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. So those are days where probably your other goalies aren't playing. Those, if they do keep doing what you're saying, though, I will say Wednesday is against Boston and then Sunday is against Toronto. So I don't know necessarily if you want to be banking on a Sunday for a goalie going up against the Leafs, but if you're desperate enough, let's see how it goes today. It's already 1-0 right now for Nashville over Anaheim, but it doesn't seem like that's Gibson's fault. A power play goal from Steven Stamkos. He's stopped 7 of 8. Couldn't stop Stammer on the power play. So yeah, I guess definitely you're right. Unless something changes, this clearly is a big hit for Dostal, who probably would have just played all 3 games next week if it wasn't for Gibson coming back. All right, so I guess now we can hit up some hots and colds. I see you've got one planned here for a guy in Vancouver who I feel like we've mentioned a few times on the podcast over the past few years. Never lasts. Curious if you're going to feel like this time it's going to be different for our friend Pew.
The way I look at Suter or Pia Suter is that, at the very least, is that it was brought up in the last short shifts, is that we only got so many weeks left of the season. We don't are telling you, hey, this is going to be something you need to ride for 3 months down the road. So right now, in the last 5 games, he's been playing on the second line with DeBrusk and Sherwood, and he has 5 points. And the nice thing is on top of that, it's he's shooting 2.6 shots a game with some hits and blocks kind of sprinkled in there. So the way I look at this is that, sure, he's not a household name, but he's playing with probably 2 of the better wingers that's not Besser that's on the team right now. And on top of it, you were talking about it before with Minnesota having a good schedule. Vancouver has an excellent schedule next week. So even if he's not shooting it off the charts, he has 4 off-night games next week. So as long as he keeps the shots up, gets a couple of points in there, could be someone that's really interesting. Right now, the game is at the end of the first period with no points, so nothing to show for anybody. But assuming that he keeps that spot, I'd be interested in him for next week for sure with that schedule. And depending on how your other league mates are, you might have to pick him up a little bit earlier depending on how your matchup is going.
Yeah, you're talking about Pew Suter here. I think that it's likely he's not going to do much, but you're right. That's 4 games. So if you consider, like, if you're streaming someone who's playing 2 or 3 games for you, like if you find someone who's playing 3 times and it's on a busy Saturday, so you're only adding 2 games, you do the math. You kind of only need Pew Suter to be like better than half as good as your other option on average to potentially give you more points. And yeah, if Suter's playing with DeBrusk, that's not too bad. Clearly you would want top power play to really get excited, but I guess, yeah, 2 goals against Winnipeg against, I believe it was Hellebuck in net. So not too many players have scored 2 goals in a game against Hellebuck this season, considering I think his goals against average is less than 2. So yeah, Pew Suter is someone that you could definitely look at, but you know, I don't want to put my full stamp of approval. I don't want Trev being like Elon and Shams said, go for Suter. It's just, it's our duty though to say it's a guy on a hot streak that's on a team with a good schedule next week. So it's our job to just let you know, and then you can make the decision for yourself.
I'll be listening to Matchup Maximizer and trying to find out who you're going to have better than Suter. I'm not saying he's, you know, the next Ovi or McKinnon, but 4 games, second line, you know, especially with these high stakes things, you got to find points under the rug wherever you can find it. So
Yeah, well, we've got more of these kind of like quote-unquote no-namers that we plan to bring up today. Why don't we go to this next one in Ottawa? Definitely no points today because it's currently 5-0 for the Avalanche. But how is Michael Amadio on our show plan? Has that ever happened before in the history of short shifts?
If it has, I wasn't there to listen to it. Now, this is a pure Shams like add to the list because he's literally 0% in Kickupful and 0% owned in Yahoo. But just the way I had to take a look at it is in your deep leagues or maybe desperate situations is that he has 5 goals and 3 assists across 9 games this month. Now, obviously, they're getting their doors blown off today, so I don't think anyone has a point for Ottawa, so I'm not going to dig him for today. But this is just one of those situations where, sure, he's on the third line, but he's playing with Pinto and Ridley Gregg. So it's just one of those situations. I've been in a couple of leagues where, you know, you're looking at, you know, a random player that's like getting maybe power play 2 times, that's been cold for a month. You're like, oh, should I pick this guy up? It's like, now, probably Kickupful. I'm not saying rush to get him, but in your deep leagues, maybe someone to take an interest in and just see how long you can ride this hot streak. But it could end at any point. Honestly, it could have ended today. But just to have this kind of point output for 9 games in a row was worth mentioning.
Okay. I'm going to once again not rubber stamp the any recommendations about Michael Amadio. Here's another name that I'm just curious to get your take on, or at least throw it out there. Back when we were talking about Minnesota, one guy we didn't mention is rookie Liam Ogren, who did play 4 games last year. But yeah, this is, I guess, his official rookie season, though kind of unfair for coaches and management to make a player play like only 25 games in a season and kind of burn their rookie year. I guess actually, what is the minimum? 24, 25, 26? I don't know. Anyway, Liam Ogren is a somewhat high pedigree guy for the Wild, 19th overall pick in 2022. He did have a good game yesterday against Seattle. He scored a goal and had 4 shots, played only 11 minutes of ice time. I'm going to assume, unless the deployment improves, this is not something that's going to keep up. But again, like I said, Minnesota has a couple good schedule weeks coming up. So if you notice the deployment improving, maybe now, like we said, if Rossi is out, maybe Ogren gets more time. Just someone to keep on your radar potentially. But okay, how about some hot streaks? How about I've got a whole team of hot streaks for you here on the St. Louis Blues. This is a team that has struggled for a lot of the season, but don't look now. They're like closing in on a potential playoff spot here. And there's a lot of secondary guys. Like, you know, obviously you know about Kyrou and Thomas and Buchnevich, Braden Schenn. But yeah, Jake Neighbors really going off going into today. 3 games in a row with a goal. It's a 5 points in 3 games. Just recently, and then we'll see how it goes today against the Canucks. Dylan Holloway continues to go nuts. Justin Falk, a guy who I had on my couple team at one point and dropped like a dummy. Now I have Cam Fowler on my team, and I really wish I had Justin Falk instead. He's on a 4-game point streak with a couple multi-point games in there going into today. So definitely check your waiver wire. And this isn't necessarily a great schedule play, but this is just a team that has a lot to play for and is doing well. Even their goalie, Joel Hofer, he got that game Tuesday against Nashville, put up a gem. St. Louis then now plays today. Then they play Saturday. Then on Sunday, they play again against Nashville. I think it's pretty obvious. I think you see the strategy a lot. Like, it's a back-to-back, and Hofer just had a good game against Nashville. Why not just give him the same team that he was able to, to be fair, a lot of goalies have had success against Nashville this year. But I think that's going to be a pretty good Sunday spot start and probably a very, like, sought-after spot start. So you may need to get the jump there on your league mates to get that Hofer Sunday against Nashville, which I'd expect is going to happen. But yeah, lots of St. Louis guys putting up some big numbers right now. I would be checking my free agency to see who's out there. Do you have any Blues on any of your fantasy teams, Shams?
Right now I was able to pick up Binnington on Kickupful just because someone dropped him last week. And then just to try to make it to the playoffs, and I was able to sneak in a waiver ad with all the remaining fab on Monday. So the interesting thing is just to keep in mind is that the whole team is basically on a heater. In the last 10 games, not including today, they have the fourth best shooting percentage as a whole team at 11.76%. That's only behind like Dallas. And oddly enough, I guess they're just not shooting, is Chicago and Anaheim. And on top of that, the PDO, which it takes into account the save percentage, they are fourth as well. So basically, it's just one of the situations. I think it's kind of like I saw with Detroit with the coaching change. I feel like what it is that this is just kind of the situation of just the coach coming in, buy-in, systems. Because in all honesty, is that like we may not be seeing St. Louis as like a cup contender team, but they are a decent team with good players. And it's just kind of that situation of just everything coming together. So if you're in a shallower league, there's like in my home league right now, I can't really fit them in. I believe Neighbors is available. So like some of these side guys that I would be, depending on who you have as options, make sure to take a look, double check who's available, and not be afraid to pick them up.
Yeah, I think it does. It is very tricky at this point in the season in terms of like weighing the games played versus the player quality. Like I really kind of blew it like this week on Monday. Like I held on to Oliver Bjorkstrand because I saw he had a Monday game. It's like, okay, I'll hold for Monday, then I'll move on. And I ended up dropping Granlund, who was cold, but I think I would have probably been like more confident in Granlund over Bjorkstrand. But I was like, yeah, but I'll get an extra game in the quarterfinals from Bjorkstrand. So I think it's like the smart move. And then, you know, now it's like, Bjorkstrand had zero couple points in that game, so that extra game was literally worth nothing. And then Granlund on the Tuesday scored two goals. So not to say it's always going to be that like cut and dry. What? I just see here that James Reimer is starting for Buffalo today and not UPL. Shams. Oh my gosh. We're going to have to pause. Okay, let's just wrap up this show. I'm going to have to figure out now. I assumed I have two goalies going today. What was Buffalo doing? They just won. You don't care? You don't care about me? You don't care about anybody? You need UPL in there again. All right. Well, anyway, that's frustrating. What was I saying? Oh, whatever. Just saying that you might want to add a player that plays fewer games if you know, it's like a clearly better option than the person who has a better schedule, but is like, you know, Michael Amati or Pugh Suter. So something to keep in mind. But okay. I had a couple cold streaks I wanted to throw at you. It's only 8:35 here, so there's time for us to finish the show in 10 minutes, and then still I'll have 15 minutes to figure out what I'm going to do with this goaltending. I'm thrown. Oh, I could have added Frederik Andersen earlier today. He's probably going to have a great game for Carolina and get Sunday, but I figured I'll already have two goalies playing, so there's no point. Oh my gosh. Why couldn't Buffalo announce this earlier? What are they waiting for? Okay. I had a plan here. I was going to throw some defensemen at you, high-end defensemen on cold streaks. I'm assuming the answer for all of them is going to be just like hold on and stick with it. But I'm just curious to know if you feel differently about any of them, and I'll share the same. Josh Morrissey only has one assist in his last five games, also not taking too many shots. He's getting big minutes, but it's kind of looking like a Brock Faber stat line lately, which is very rare for Josh Morrissey. Winnipeg only plays like next week three times, and it's Tuesday and then Friday, Sunday. So, I'll mention the player, and then I don't know if you want to say like what your thoughts are. Would you have any thought at all about dropping Josh Morris here? Like, no way. I don't care how cold he is. He's still a better option than anyone else you're going to get.
Yeah, that's really the question, is that like, unless you're in a shallow league, like, maybe it'd have to be a 10 team or potentially a situation where you're bridging into a cloud league. I'm not sure how you're going to find someone else better. Like, as we mentioned before, I have a bye week in Kickupful in the consolation bracket. And so far, the only defenseman I've added is Dylan Sandberg, just because he had a couple of hits and blocks and was getting some random points. And I think he ended the last game with just one block. So really the idea is that, I believe he was, at least with Morrissey, he was kind of ranging at a Kickupful average of like 3.5 in the last 14 days. Is that the defenseman free agents, unless you have maybe like a Falk or someone that's really interesting just sitting out there, you probably have someone that's even worse than Morrissey to drop. And that's kind of like, not to put it out there, but like for a good chunk of the people that you have in the list, it's just really, who else are you going to add? Maybe if you have like what's interesting with next week is that maybe you play the game with like, hey, you only run with three or two defensemen And then you have, like, you could fit in, like, your PS suitors or your wild players that could fit on off nights. But I feel like in most situations that while these D are would be nice if they're playing hotter, they're not. He's not playing cold enough for me to be too worried.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I think we'll feel the same way about most of these players. Adam Fox actually has an assist today. He came back from his injury and went pointless for the last couple of games, but an apple today for Adam Fox against the Leafs. Zach Werenski, I guess we talked about how Columbus overall has gone cold. I would just say, like, if you have Werenski, don't worry at all. He's still taking a ton of shots. He's like incredible, right? But I guess if the team doesn't score, we'll see. Now it's the end of two against Florida. And it's another pointless game so far for Werenski. This would be his fourth game in a row without a point. So that would be frustrating, but I think there's nothing you can do there. I'll just go through them, then you can just say at the end if there's anyone you would consider. Moritz Seider is also cold. What's with these defensemen lately? Pointless in three, only two assists in his last, what is it, seven or eight? Yeah, so Moritz Seider not really giving much, not even like too many shots lately. Mikhail Sergachev has gone a little cold here. He is playing today, so we'll see if something changes, but pointless in three games for Sergachev over on Utah. And then Vince Dunn, I'll end with him, doing nothing for Seattle. Montour has been like going really nuts and doing really well, but Vince Dunn, we're looking at one assist only in his last four games. So I don't think there's much to do, but I just felt like people would be interested to know that some, I'm sure if you don't have them on your team, you maybe don't pay too much attention to these high-end people that, you know, there's not worth really thinking much about in fantasy. But yeah, a lot of us struggling D right now.
Yeah, I think at this point, it's just, sadly, you're just going to have to stick up with it. Now, the interesting thing is that a lot of these D, especially, for example, Seider, he's hitting and blocking a lot. So it's not like you're getting absolutely nothing. You're not getting, you know, Brock Faber games where you're just like, you know, almost 30 minutes and he maybe took a shot that got blocked. So it's all zeros. So, but the interesting thing is that they are keeping up. So it will be, here's the thing. If any of these defensemen got dropped in either of my leagues, I would ignore my ad strategy, my streaming strategy or whatnot. I would be taking a bet on any of these guys. So if I would do that on the other side, I can't recommend considering dropping them. Unless you are in a weird shallow league and you have some really great player that's just out of this world. But in that world, you would probably be dropping someone before these guys.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. If anything, this is just like, ooh, this will be potentially someone will get frustrated and make a drop. I think the one that I might second guess would be a Vince Dunn, just because Seattle, like, he's not like the clear top power play person, unlike the others, because Seattle runs a couple power play units. So maybe I would think twice, depending on the schedule. But the other ones, yeah, I guess you just have to jump and hope that things will turn around. Let's just give a couple quick updates before we sign off. We talked about some lineups, and now we do actually know them. So the Sabres are rolling Thompson, Paterka, Tuck, leaving, yeah, no one. Man, this team is pretty shallow at the moment. McLeod, Zucker, and Greenway, Krebs, Murray, and Quinn. Wow, so yeah, it's just loading up that top line. I guess Josh Norris still hurt, kind of hurts. I'd imagine maybe they'd want to do over on that Norris and Cousins trade, or maybe they don't care. It's too early to tell. And then Edmonton has dropped their lines as their game's about to start. So like you said, McDavid, Skinner, Hyman, and then RNH is centering Arvidsson and Podkolzin. And yeah, then you have the bottom six. Corey Perry there. I am interested to see if Perry's going to get top power play. But I think that's good. I did have on the outline, I'll just mention, Carter Verhaeghe was dropped in like a couple division shams, and then someone grabbed him off of waivers. I think it made sense. It was like Verhaeghe, like Florida only plays two times next week, and Verhaeghe has been off the top power play lately. Like we mentioned on the Mega Show, Samoskevich took his spot. Verhaeghe only 1 point in five games. I'm curious to know, you just said that, like, if any of those defensemen I mentioned were dropped, you would just like jump. Would you feel that way even about Carter Verhaeghe, who's cold and only playing two games next week, or would you have left him for someone else to grab?
In this situation, is that he has just been cold for like over a month. And on top of that, is that while he had earlier in the month like a couple of five shot games, a lot of his games have just been like two shots. So even if he gets an assist, is that like it doesn't really come out to anything? And oddly enough, the Panthers have just kind of been in kind of a funk altogether. So if he's in a funk, the rest of the team is in a funk as well. I wouldn't be rushing at him. Like, honestly, next week, like, I have Barkov, like, probably him, Reinhardt, Bennett, like, other than those three, I'm talking like on the forwards parts, like who else are you even like keeping next week?
No, you make a good point. It's a tricky situation. Like this is something I saw in advance of the playoffs, and I traded Barkov for Kaprizov, which I guess like could also be said I gave Barkov away, it turns out, for nothing. But at the end of the day, maybe my stream spot will turn out to be more valuable than two games from Barkov. Probably not, but that's what I like to tell myself. Anyway, so yeah, it would be pretty tough to hold Verhaeghe. Also, Florida next week, it's not even like you can get an early game and then consider dropping. Like Florida doesn't play till Friday, Sunday. So it's a long wait once you get to next week before you're getting those games from your Panthers that you hold on to. So that would make it even harder to hold Carter Verhaeghe, I think. Okay, well, thanks everyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed this not so long shift, medium shift. I don't know, but Shams, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Looking forward to chatting some more on the Discord and hopefully celebrating some victories over the next couple of weeks. The one thing I know, at least if I lose this matchup, it means my opponent wins. And that's a valued member of the Keeping Carlson community. So I guess I can't be too mad. So good luck to the goobs. I'll throw that out there. But at the same time, better luck to me, please. We'll be back with a matchup maximizer this weekend. I'll record one looking at the schedule for next week, and then Brian and I will do another mega show, so make sure you're subscribed. If you want to support the show, we've got our Patreon, keepingcarlson.com/patron. Shams and I have been retweeting like crazy, but I guess we've been doing it all year. It's not like anything's changed. Shams is incredible. Finds everything, lets me know if I'm retweeting something that I shouldn't have to make sure everything is pristine over on gamedaytweets.com, our website, where maybe you don't want a Twitter account for reasons. You don't need one now because you're going to get all the news that you need from the beat writers. Ooh, there's still a lot of really great beat writers for all the teams on that website, and we get it all organized for you over at gamedaytweets.com, so check it out. But yeah, I guess all that's left to say is, all that's left to say is play smart and keep your shifts short. See ya.